Greetings and welcome into this edition of ESPN FC alongside Alejandro Moreno. I'm Sebastian Salazar. Great to be with you. So much to look forward to this weekend as club football returns. Julien Laurent going to join us in just a little bit. PSG with a big bounce back in domestic play. But let's start by opening the door,
yes,
shall we? And
let's do
welcoming
that.
In Don Hutchison and Shaka Hislop to the program. Of course, fitting we've got Don with us, played for both Everton and Liverpool Merseyside Derby, starting things off Saturday in the Premier League. And as we take a look at the top half of the table, Everton, a perfect 4-for-4 to start the season. Liverpool then in the uncomfortable and unfamiliar spot of looking up in the table at their neighbors. That, of course, then put Jurgen Klopp in the uncomfortable and unfamiliar spot of having to say something nice about Everton. Here's what he had to say. Quote, it's pretty clear they did some good business, and Carlo is a sensational manager. This team looks really, really good. I would like to say something different, but it's not possible. And so, yeah, they are proper challengers. All right, Don, let's start with you as somebody who played on both sides of this derby. Look, it's been 10 years since Everton last beat Liverpool, but this one feels different, doesn't it?
It does, Savvy. Yeah, I'm listening to the radio stations over in the UK and on social media, and the red side of Liverpool, they're panicking slightly. They are, because they realise why Carlo Ancelotti was brought into the football club, as does Jurgen Klopp. You know, Bill Kenwright and Fahad Moshiri have pumped a lot of money into the football club, going into a brand new stadium in a couple of years' time. But it's the players that they're starting to assemble. You know, they've sprinkled on the pitch with a few big signings over the years, people like Richarlison and people like Andre Gomez. But all of a sudden, the new signings, they feel as though there's a plan. When you think of Alan in midfield, Holden and Decore, you know, the engine in there, and James Rodriguez, the Galactico signings, and Calvert-Lewin scoring goals. So you can see a genuine plan, and you can see a genuine, really strong 11. The weak point probably at the moment is Jordan Pickford. But I think for Everton fans, and they're dreaming slightly, even though they're four games into the Premier League, they feel as though if they can beat Liverpool and take points off them, it certainly puts down a massive marker.
Don, what about the Liverpool side of this? Because obviously, if you're looking at it from Liverpool, you just gave up seven against Aston Villa, and Everton have added all those pieces, but what are your primary concerns from the Liverpool side?
Well, I wonder if Jurgen Klopp might address the problems that they had last week when they got beat 7-2 against Villa, and the 7 was going on 10. I wonder if he maybe takes Fabinho out of midfield and plays him instead of Joe Gomez, and Thiago comes back in. The front three speaks for itself now that Sadio Mane's back. I would imagine he's a certain starter. But it's the line, it's the high line that Liverpool have adopted since the start of the season. And I think the averages are they're playing 4 to 5 metres high up the pitch. And against Aston Villa, they got absolutely torn to shreds. So it'll be very interesting, the work that Jurgen Klopp's done on the training ground in a short period of time, whether they stick with this high line. And if they do, they can, you know, they could massively unstuck if people like James gets on the ball under no pressure. So I would imagine they might play a little bit deeper. I wouldn't say play counter-attacking football, but just have no space for Everton to try and, you know, play them balls in behind. But it's going to be fascinating in terms of his personnel, which 11 Jurgen Klopp goes for.
Right. Ale, Don is describing panic on the red side of Liverpool. You think it's justified?
I wouldn't say panic, but there has to be a call to order and people pay attention. Just because you went away with your national team doesn't mean that the 7-2 result against Aston Villa didn't happen. It's not like all of a sudden we forgot about it. So the last time that these players were together, well, they were getting destroyed. It was a backside whooping by Aston Villa and every bit of it. And so therefore, if you're Jurgen Klopp, if you're the players, now, yeah, you have to address the issues. Yeah, you have to resolve it. And if indeed the approach for Liverpool is going to be, you know what, we are going to play with this high line, which that's a coaching decision. That's on Jurgen Klopp. Okay, now you have to pressure the ball. Mm. There has to be pressure on the ball out of the midfield, because otherwise you're asking for trouble. This is trouble that not only happened against Aston Villa, it was happening against Leeds, and it has happened throughout the course of the early stages of the season. So you have to approach it in a manner in which you say, first priority, if indeed we're going to play with a high line, this is our decision, we have to pressure the ball. Mm. Otherwise, what you're going to see is James Rodriguez flicking balls over the top, Calvert-Lewin running behind, and now you're chasing once again. What I expect from Liverpool is that there's going to be a reaction. You're not the champion that Liverpool have become over the last couple of seasons, both in Champions League and in the Premier League, without having some sort of pride, without having some sort of competitiveness within you that says, you know what, that was unacceptable. That's not us. We have to be better. And what better occasion to show that that against your in-city rival in Everton.
Let's get some predictions. Mm-hmm. We're going to start with Shaka. Now, Shaka, I want to get your pick because we didn't get it on yesterday's show, but also maybe a quick word on Jordan Pickford, because at one point it's something to say, all right, he might lose the England number one job, but now Don's describing him as a weakness for Everton.
Yeah, listen, I don't see that as being the case just yet for either England or Everton. I think Jordan Pickford keeps hold of his shirt, keeps hold of his starting position, but he knows that he's not got too many more mistakes before Ancelotti finally does pull that plug. But I think he, at the very least, he starts tomorrow.
Do you think Everton can pull off the result? Win, draw? What do you think?
I think they can. I think this is shaping up to be a high-scoring game, all things being even. I see this as maybe a 3-3, or if Liverpool were at their fullest strength, maybe 4-3 just to them. I think the big issue here is Adrian in goal, who's not filled anybody with a whole lot of confidence of late. I think that plays into the mentality, especially if there are early goals in this one. So I'm leaning Everton at home, Adrian in goal, a shaky Liverpool defence, but we'll get goals. As I say, I'm thinking 3-2, 4-3, somewhere around there to the blue side of Liverpool.
Don, you played for both clubs. You've said that in your heart, you maybe identify a little bit more with Everton. You're going with your heart in this one.
I am. The contradiction to that is if Sadio Mane and Firmino and Mo Salah are playing, then you know they've got goals and they deliver 9 times out of 10. So this ain't going to be a clean sheet for Everton. If they're going to win it, they're going to have to win it something like a 2-1. I mean, it would be amazing if Shaka's right and it's a 3-3 or a 4-3. This game has normally been tighter over the years in terms of the scoreline. But I would lean towards Everton. I think the momentum, the form that they've got, they've seen a few chinks like last week that Liverpool have showed. They're not defensively solid. So I would go for a 2-1 Everton win.
Ali, Everton or Liverpool?
Didn't Liverpool just win this league?
By 18 points, yeah.
There has to be a point in which Liverpool shows up.
Right.
And there has to be also a realization and sort of a reality check for Everton. This is not just going to be a beautiful, perfect, gorgeous season where everything goes well for you. And while this may be Everton's best chance, it's not enough. Liverpool shows up, goes to Goodison Park, and wins this game.
All right, that match Saturday. On Sunday, we got West Ham and Spurs. Could be our first look at Gareth Bale. Well, not first look, but a first, second look at Gareth Bale with Tottenham. Here's what Jose Mourinho had to say about how happy Bale is. Now, it's really not from Mourinho. It's kind of via Sergio Reguilón, but, you know,
okay.
context. It is great to listen from Serge, as he calls him, who shared the dressing room with him in Madrid, that he looks a different guy. So if he is happy with us and then he goes home and he can share that happiness with his family, it is the best thing that can happen to him. He needs his football. He needs to feel a top player again. Shaka, who would have thought that Jose Mourinho, of all people, is the ray of sunshine that Gareth Bale needed?
Yeah, I know. You never knew what to expect with Gareth Bale coming back to Spurs and playing under Jose Mourinho and how he'd be employed. But I think this speaks to how despondent and Gareth Bale grew in Madrid and back to a club that he knows well. His own stock has risen considerably since then. He can and rightly be seen as the star in this team, even with a team that includes Harry Kane. And I expect a big season out of Gareth Bale. And what a game to start it with. West Ham, who've not fared well against Spurs over recent years, though they seem to have turned their own corner, judging by how poorly they started this season at home to Newcastle. But this is a game that Spurs will be looking forward to, that I think Spurs quite possibly romp home with, and then Gareth Bale will be even more smiles by the end of it.
Right. Ale, is it just as simple as that? He's happy now and we're going to get old school Gareth Bale?
No. No, it isn't.
Why not?
Because you don't just go from sitting and playing golf to all of a sudden being world class once again. And this is what Gareth Bale has been over the last couple of seasons, where we haven't seen him on the field. He's been injured. Oh, Shocking. Why hasn't he played up until this point with Spurs? Because he was injured. And so there has to be a point in which Gareth Bale has to show that full fitness Gareth Bale looks like he was 5 years ago. Oh, well, but 5 years have gone by. So the body doesn't react the same. And so to expect Gareth Bale to be what he was, I think it's unrealistic. Now, for moments, he may be that. But for long stretches of time, I don't think so.
Don, real quick, look. Gareth Bale, Spurs, it seems to have a cocktail for a disaster, especially when you throw in Jose Mourinho there. But how much do Spurs actually need him? You know, before the break, they dropped 6 on United. They dropped 7 in Europa League. This was a team in an attack specifically that was working very well.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they need him because he's a world-class player or can be a world-class player. I'm pretty sure he'll get back to that level. The difficulty for Jose is tearing apart or taking apart the team that beat Man United so comfortably. You know, Eric Lamella, I think, is one of Jose's favourites. He might not be a favourite of fans around the world, but, you know, whenever he's called upon, he does a job for him. Son's in terrific form, and Harry Kane's playing as a different Harry Kane. He doesn't seem as selfish anymore. He might still be obsessed with the number of goals that he's getting, but the amount of assists that Harry Kane's got since the start of the season has been phenomenal. So Jose might just tweak it slightly. I'd be stunned if he starts Gareth Bale. It might be just a game too early for him. He might be able to learn a little bit from sitting on the bench. But with him coming in and Reguilon coming in at left back, you know, from match day one when Everton absolutely tore Tottenham apart, Tottenham couldn't get hold of the ball. I've never seen a performance like it where Everton just dominated the ball for about an hour. You know, it was all doom and gloom. And then all of a sudden, Gareth Bale joins and Reguilon comes. Then all of a sudden, the results come. And then there's a feel-good factor. All the Tottenham fans are now are not even thinking top four. They think they can actually genuinely, you know, contend for the league. That's how much the Gareth Bale signing means to them.
Right. One more matter of business here. Shaka, Chelsea and Southampton on Saturday. Edouard Mendy out injured. Things could get awkward. What's Uh-oh. Frank Lampard going to do? Uh-oh. Are we really going to go back to Kepa?
Listen, I'm not sure. Given how Frank and clearly how he thinks about Kepa, I'm not sure that that's the right answer. Willy Caballero, as I've said time and time again, is a proven number two. And I say that because there's a mentality that comes with coming in every now and then and playing as Willy Caballero has done. I see no reason why he doesn't stick with Caballero, coming for the game, coming for a game or two, depending on how long Mendy is out, and then go back to his preferred number one. He's lost faith in Kepa, and I think rightly so.
Chelsea then in action on Saturday. Some other big games Saturday as well. City, Arsenal, Newcastle, Manchester United.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Decimated by injury, suspension, international duty, everything else, no problem for PSG. Able to win 4-0 over Nîmes on Friday. Kylian Mbappe had been in doubt how much he'd go. Well, he got a couple goals as PSG rolls easily. For more, we welcome in Julien Laurent. Alain Xhaka still with us as well. Jules, Thomas Tuchel complaining all week he could barely scrap 11 guys together, so this seems like a pretty good result in that context.
Yes, that's right. It was a really good result. He had so many players missing: Verratti, Marquinhos, Neymar, Di Maria, Kurzawa, and Icardi, and many others that I forget, either due to suspension, injuries, they were resting for the game on Tuesday in the Champions League against United, all sort of reasons. And yet they still won 4-0. Of course, the red card for Nîmes quite early in the game changed a lot of the dynamic. But even before that, PSG were already looking really good, showing the depth in their squad. Someone like Rafinha, for example, example, on his debut was really good for an hour before coming off, gave the assist on the first goal to Mbappe. We saw really good Moise Kean, I thought, although he was a bit unlucky not to score. Mbappe was on top form despite playing three games while taking part in all those games with the national team in the last 10 days or so. So in the end, very positive, very good, although Paredes got a little injury apparently, which is the only bad news of the night, but they could have scored 10, 12 goals easily, hit the woodwork three times. So all in all, a very positive night.
Xhaka, you had an eye on this one as well. PSG haven't always been impressive this season in domestic play. What'd you make of their performance?
Well, it was to be expected. And listen, as much as Tuchel is complaining about the injuries that they had, you look at this squad up against Nîmes, you think they'd win comfortably regardless. A forward line of Mbappe, Moise Kean, Sarabia, Kempembe in the back, Gaia through the middle. Listen, they should have cruised this. Regardless, Florenzi down the right-hand side was impressive. Added to that Nîmes, who struggled last season, down to 10 men after, 25, 30 minutes. It was a formality. It was, you take the 3 points, you take the impressive result. It could have been a whole lot more. But in all honesty, again, despite the injury suspensions, despite the players missing, I expected no less from PSG.
Jules, you mentioned the Champions League coming up Tuesday against Manchester United. Just how serious are the depth concerns when you talk about competing at that level for Thomas Tuchel?
We would have to see. I think a lot of the players will be assessed this weekend. We know, for example, that Di Maria and Kurzawa will be back because they were suspended in the league. Mario Icardi is a doubt. Marquinhos is a bigger doubt even. Marco Verratti, there's again a lot of question mark over his fitness. We will see what happened tonight to Paredes, if it's only like a little niggle in his hamstring, or if it's a bit serious and they don't want to take any risk. But this is the first game of the group stage. It's at home at the Parc des Princes, albeit behind closed doors, but it's still it's a key game in this competition already, and they can't take it either lightly or not putting up the best team, the strongest team that they can. So I think Tuchel will hope this weekend that some of the players recover better than maybe we expect and we think, and then he will have a more competitive TV even than what we saw tonight.
Interesting, Ale. You know, PSG, obviously the good performance today against Nîmes, but since the Champions League final, they haven't really been overwhelming. Manchester United's been very underwhelming. It's hard to really wrap your head around this tie, isn't it?
Actually, it isn't.
No?
This is about PSG. I don't even address Manchester United until they become a serious team. Mm. Up until this point, what we've seen from Manchester United is struggle after struggle after struggle. And a team that can't quite figure out who they are under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. When they tell you that they're going to be a young team, but then, you know what, let's go and get Cavani. Well, it's one or the other. It doesn't quite work that way. And it just feels like you're just shifting the dynamics of the conversation depending on what's happening this weekend. So if this weekend goes well, then we're great. We're fantastic. If it doesn't go well, then, no, well, look, we're planning to the future. The truth is that Manchester United right now, they don't really know who they are. Whereas PSG, whereas Thomas Tuchel can complain about the lack of players or what have you, I don't feel sorry for Thomas Tuchel and I don't feel sorry for PSG. And so therefore, he'll have enough players, regardless of what these injuries are, he'll have enough players available to him to where whatever version of PSG shows up that night on the Parc des Princes will be better than whatever Manchester United is able to come up with.
Manchester United have a few more days before they can worry about PSG. Up next for Manchester United, Newcastle on the weekend. Of course, we will be talking about that next. ESPN FC available for you every single day. Don't miss one episode as we cover all bases in world football.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
La Liga returns this weekend. All the big boys in action on Saturday. Real Madrid against Cadiz. Barcelona, meanwhile, visiting Getafe. Of course, when you talk about Barcelona, you talk about Lionel Messi, and you also talk about Antoine Griezmann. Now, Griezmann had a nice little day away with France on international break, scored a goal, said Didier Deschamps, quote, plays me in my best position. Well, that drew a response from Ronald Koeman, as one might imagine. I spoke with Antoine Thursday, and I told him I'm looking out for the best for the team, and I think he's best on the right for us. I have no problem with Antoine. I can only play one number 9, one number 10, one number 7, etc. I don't play players out of position.
Well.
Griezmann can play wide, coming inside on his left foot. If he has another position that he likes more, that's how it is. But we can't have 10 players in the number 10 role. I decide based on what's best for the team. The coach is in charge, and the players must be at their best when they play. For more perspective, always good to lean on Jules here. Jules, this relationship doesn't seem to be improving, does it?
No, that's the least to say. I mean, you know how much I love Antoine Griezmann, of course, but I think on this one he made a mistake. That was the wrong move, the wrong call to, even if it's indirectly, but still criticizing Ronald Koeman for the way he was treated by Deschamps, who basically, let's be honest, built a system and a formation just around Antoine Griezmann to let him play in that sort of number 10 free role, free position. And that's not what Ronald Koeman does. However, this is a very different dynamic in Barcelona. It's a different squad of players. Everything is different. And I don't understand how can Griezmann complain like this publicly when he knows exactly what the issue is, what the dynamic is at Barcelona. You've got Leo Messi, who will always have priority over him, who plays in a very similar position to him. So I'm not really sure why he felt the need to say that publicly after the game against Croatia away on Wednesday night. It won't be benched, and that won't, you know, backlash on him. However, I just don't think he reflects very good on him.
The coach is in charge. Mm-hmm. That sounds like a warning to me. What does it sound like to you?
Like the coach is in charge. And whatever your complaints may be or disagreements may be, if you're Antoine Griezmann, basically what Ronald Koeman is saying, I don't care that you scored against Croatia. Well, that's great for you. That's great for France. That's great for Didier Deschamps. That does nothing for us here at Barcelona. And you're going to do what I ask you to do. And it's a message that he's sending not only to Antoine Griezmann, but he's also sending to everybody else in that locker room and saying, look, you may not like it, but if I put you out on the field, you have a job to do. And it is in your best interest and in the best interest of the team that you do your very best in that position. The only caveat here, the only thing that I would say is that when Ronald Koeman first came on board in Barcelona, one of the first things that he addressed was Antoine Griezmann, and he did say that he would make sure to play Antoine Griezmann in his best position. A little inconsistency here. We all knew that if Lionel Messi was back with Barcelona, that Antoine Griezmann was going to play the other position. Messi would play wherever Messi wanted to play, and Antoine Griezmann would play somewhere else, not where he wants to play. Mm.
Griezmann at least playing well for France. Paul Pogba playing well for France as well. Jules, I guess that brings us back to what feels like the same question over and over again. Is this the time when Pogba's finally going to be able to translate that promising international form back to Manchester United when they face Newcastle on the weekend?
You would have to hope so. You would think so. Really, I think as you know, I wrote on the website. It's not the first time it happened. He really sees those international breaks as a breath of fresh air, especially when things are a bit difficult with United, which is quite easy to understand and quite normal, I guess, because you go and it's all your best friends. You won the World Cup with them 2 years ago. This is a manager in Deschamps who trusts you, who has so much faith in you, who also knows exactly how to deal with you, really. And I think Deschamps, especially in this international break, really thought, okay, I need to take care even more of Paul Pogba so then he can go back to United and be in a very positive mood, better attitude maybe than what he was at the start of the season. Let's not forget he was out for most of the year last year, that he came back after the restart, had some really good games, some a bit more disappointing towards the end, but I don't think he's much fit. I don't think he's really sharp, and I think he needs a bit more time to get back to his best. But people are really impatient with him, as always, and I just think that maybe this trip in France and those games that he played and the performance that he had second half against Portugal, his, 20 minutes against Croatia, especially that quite incredible second assist for the Kylian Mbappe goal, I think will help him when he goes back, now that he's gone back to United and to Manchester and for the game tomorrow against Newcastle.
Thank you very much, Jules. Plenty more from Jules on the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast. Download it today on our website.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
We got the Bundesliga, of course, on ESPN Plus. Huge day on Saturday. Leipzig, Dortmund, Bayern Munich,
sell it. Leipzig!
Leipzig. Speaking of the RB, or Red Bull family, Red Bull Salzburg is going to get themselves a nice young American player. Brendan Aaronson of the Philadelphia Union, just 19 years old, will transfer over to Salzburg at the end of the MLS season. $6 million. The reported transfer fee could balloon up to $9 million with incentives. Here's what Aaronson had to say, quote, "I've had time in MLS, and I think that I've developed in that time, and I think the earlier you get over to Europe, I think the better you can develop. You can get stronger as a player over there, and I think it challenges you more. I think just the situation that I'm in, it's the perfect time." Ale, we have seen this kid and quite a lot of him in MLS. This is really his kind of third full season as a pro. He seems to think he's ready. From what I've heard you talk about, I think you pretty much agree.
What I believe of Brendan Aaronson is that he is indeed the poster child of what's good about the MLS Academy system. From a very young age, in fact, his coach at the time, who is now the coach of the Philadelphia Union, Jim Curtin, was his coach at 11 years old within the Academy system. And he has worked his way up all the way up until now, where he is a part of the senior squad. And not only is he a part of the senior squad, he's a critical player to their success. And what I like about Brendan Aaronson is that he does things at his age that kind of set him apart, put him in a different category altogether.
Definitely for an American player, right?
Well, and he's got a certain vision to his game. He's got delivery in terms of pass. He's added goals this season. So all the trends are pointing in the right direction. Now, it's a matter of whether he personally can make the jump, whether he can take in the training sessions, whether he can take in the development that he's talking about. And he's going to be in good MLS hands with Jesse Marsh, who would bring this player in and believe in this player and say, okay, look, I'm going to give you a chance. You're going to get an opportunity. But it's now then up to the individual and Brendan Aaronson, who seems to be in the right frame mindset, if you will, who seems to be prepared and ready for this, and who seems to have made this decision after some careful thought and consideration. But now you have to take advantage of the opportunity. Now you got to walk through that door.
Big picture, right? MLS talks about itself as like a selling league. It's one thing when you sell Miguel Almiron, a player you didn't make. This seems like another step in the evolution, selling a Brendan Aaronson that MLS can really truly take almost total credit for.
Well, and very much to my initial point, again, poster child of what's right about the MLS Academy. Because if indeed you're going to be a selling league, or indeed you're going to participate in the world market of this game, and that's where MLS wants to be, then you have to not only develop your talent, not only nurture your talent, but you also have to be able to turn a profit. with your talent. Mm. And that's indeed what's going on here with Brendan Aaronson and the Philadelphia Union. Now, for Philadelphia Union fans, they'll be up in arms. Oh, my goodness, one of our best players is walking out the door. It's actually long term. It's actually a good thing. It's a good thing for the Philadelphia Union. It's a good thing for MLS as well.
Yeah, Philly definitely on that play your kids model. Not everybody in the league does it. The Union do. And here they have some monetary results for plenty of MLS action this weekend. Just the one match on Saturday. But there you see a bevy of games on Sunday, a Monday night or two, New England Revolution, Philadelphia Union, all those games available for you on ESPN+. ESPN+, also your home for Serie A. Oh, man, what a day on Saturday. Derby della Madonnina, Inter Milan, AC Milan. What a showdown that should be. Napoli and Atalanta, that figures to be a fun match to watch as well. And then Juventus taking on bottom dwellers Crotone Saturday afternoon in Serie A. And how about this? Some exciting news. We've got the top flight of Scottish football on ESPN Plus, and what a way to ring it in. Saturday, 7:30 a.m. Eastern Time, Celtic, Rangers, the old firm, sensational match, sensational rivalry available for you exclusively on ESPN Plus. All right, that's it for this edition of ESPN FC. It's been wonderful, though.
I thought thorough, informative, entertaining. Good value.
Short but sweet. Thanks to everyone who joined us. Thanks to you for watching. We'll see you next time right here on ESPN FC. Wow. What a special moment.
It is.
Special moment. ESPN FC's Extra Time live in person in studio. Ale Moreno, Sebastian Salazar. Hey there, everybody.
Hey there, everybody.
We are excited.
Hey there, everybody.
Yep. Yes. That's one voice. That's the voice of Shaka Hislop. You see the beautiful visual representation of Julian Aran. Shaka's with us. It's a little bit of a surprise, Ale.
What happened? Injury? Do we have an injury?
So it is Stevie Nicol. A pulled hamstring would make sense.
Yes.
Sprinting to the kitchen for some shepherd's pie. But no, actually, it was technical difficulties that have sidelined Stevie
Nicol. I'm surprised. How could this happen?
Not
for Stevie.
No, I know. There is some breaking news that really kind of drops your jaw to the floor and Stevie Nicol with technical difficulties. Probably somewhere on that list. All right. We also, as we mentioned, have Julian Laurent. And the first question is for you, Jules. Who'd be the more important signing for Real Madrid next summer, Mbappe or Camavinga?
Ooh. Whoa, that's a good one. I still think in Mbappe, I mean, just for the experience and the age. I mean, Camavinga is only 17. He's played one full season really in the top flight in France for Rennes. He will discover the Champions League this season, next week. And I think he will learn a lot from that and will mature a lot. But he's nowhere near ready, I think, to go and star for Real Madrid and play every single game. Whereas I think Kylian Mbappe is ready already now. You know, he's only 21, but he's ready. He could work at that club and start pretty much every game and be a superstar there. So I think if they had to pick just one of the two and had the money for either of them, I think they would go for Mbappe in priority. And then Camavinga can always come either at the same time if they have enough money or maybe further down the line, and it won't be a problem.
Okay, Jules, if that question made you smile, because it was about good, young French players,
right.
The next question is not going to make Jules very happy.
Uh-oh.
It's a little passive-aggressive. You'll see it. Would Marcus Rashford, Jules, be as prolific as Mbappe if he played in that awful league?
Ooh.
I believe he would score even more goals than him. For context, Jules, before you fire back, Rashford 17 league goals last season in 31 games. Mbappe 18 league goals in just 20 league appearances. Jules, what do you think?
What league are we talking about? I didn't get the joke.
I gotcha. Yeah,
what league?
Because they said off the league, but I know what you're saying. It's like they can't be talking about the French league.
What? They can't be talking about the league that had two clubs in the semifinal of the Champions
League.
Maybe
you're
talking about the Premier League. No one in the last four of the Champions League, no?
I love angry Jules.
I'm not sure.
By the way, there was nothing passive aggressive about the question.
No, you're right. It was aggressive.
It was just aggressive.
Oh, man. Dan the Orange Man, another favorite questioner here on Extra Time with another question for Jules. Jules, would you rather see Arsenal win the Premier League this season or PSG win the Champions League? That's got to be tough for you. Pulling at the heartstrings.
No, it's not.
PSG.
No, it's not.
Leave me alone. PSG winning the Champions League every day.
Didn't even bat an eyelash.
Am I the only one on this extra time?
Stevie was going to be on, but all the questions were for Stevie. He's not here, so I can't really ask anybody else about shepherd's pie recipes. And I could ask you about golf. I suppose Shaka plays a little golf, right?
Well, Shaka gets out there.
Yeah.
Every so often. Yeah. His game, I don't know what state it is right now.
Let's leave that for 2021, shall we? Yes. Let's leave my golf game alone for 2021.
It's actually like the one thing you could work on in 2020, right? It's the one sport you can do with social distancing, but on the back burner clearly then for Shaka. All right, who'd you choose to become Manchester United's captain? Maguire, De Gea, or Pogba? Boy, a lot of players in form to choose from there. Shaka, I'll actually come to you first because I think you kind of hinted at it on the show yesterday that maybe the armband is creating some of the pressure that's causing some of these issues for Maguire.
Yeah, and I feel it is. I mean, a lot of people point to issues in Greece. I think it's more than that. And if I were choosing Manchester United's captain right now, it would be Bruno Fernandes, who is not on the list as provided by the question. But if I were choosing, that's who I'd go for. Do I have to choose somebody on the list? What was it, Maguire, De Gea, or Pogba?
Well, that is a question, Shaq, yes.
Man, that's the least those are the of three options evils in the question. There. I'm not sure. I'd have to go for... Fuck, yeah. I'd have to go for Pogba. And I just think that's the least of three evils.
Wow. Hey, Jules, is that something Pogba would even want, to be captain of Manchester United?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there was that argument with Jose Mourinho when Mourinho took it away from him or even the vice captain armband, or he was there in the leadership team of that squad. And certainly I think he would release the opportunity, he would take the responsibility. That's not something that would scare him or anything. I actually think that it could be beneficial for him. But if I had to give it to someone, I would give it to Marcus Rashford. I think he's ready. I think everything that has happened on and off the field in the last 12 months or so, I've showed how great he is, and I think he would be one really proud to wear the armband, but also we deserve it completely.
I have a question.
Yes, go on.
And this has nothing to do with De Gea, Maguire, or Pogba. Mm-hmm. This gentleman who asked this question, isn't this a repeat offender from the same extra time session? Did he not ask the first question
also came. See, this question is more of like a troll question. This is somebody that definitely doesn't like Manchester United and just gave us three terrible options for captain so that we would have a go.
Well, my question is to our production team is, do we not get enough questions that we can get variety rather than repeating from the same source?
You're saying we should put a one question cap?
Well, I'm just saying there's a lot of people.
My mentions are full of questions.
Yes, and a lot of people complain about the fact that they don't get their questions on air.
Do you get those messages too? People really do complain.
Yes, it's like I've been sending questions for months and nobody picks my question, and yet here we are with putting in two questions from the same person. Production team, get on it, please.
Yeah, I think people are like thinking that we're in charge.
Well,
no.
And we're not.
No, we have the least influence on
anything.
I thought you were.
Yeah, right, Shaka.
I thought you chose a question, Sebi.
Yeah, right. I haven't made a decision at this network ever. I don't think not once. Not a good one, anyway.
But, and you're not bitter about it at all. You've let it go, clearly.
Yeah.
All right, I'm being told
you haven't made a decision in your house, either.
And the next is like a wardrobe joke. And that's Craig Burley here. Anybody else want to pile on?
Are you okay?
All right.
Things just turned south.
Let's turn it on the managers. Let's get somebody fired. Who's more likely to go next, Ole or Scott Parker at Fulham? Take your choice, Ole.
Well, those are two managers in two different worlds right now. Yeah.
Different expectations.
I would say Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Shaka, you agree?
Yeah, I do. especially after that 6-1. If they have another really bad result in the next week or two, and there was already some rumors that United were beginning to talk to Pochettino, I can see Ole out the door.
Jules, PSG picking up a nice win on Friday, 4-0 against Nîmes. Our question, did PSG signing of Moise Kean go under the radar? How good of a player is he?
I think so. I think he's certainly very talented, and we saw that at Juventus. He lost his way a little bit at Everton, I think, on and off the field. I don't think it was easy. It was a bit complicated for him. I think the difference between Italy and England was just too big, and I think he struggled always to adapt anyway. I think he's a bit different in Paris. There's other Italians to start with, in Marco Verratti and Florenzi, for example. I think maybe this is a club that corresponds to him a little bit better, and certainly tonight, for his first start, he showed some good things. He could have scored twice. He was denied by the keeper a couple of times, but he hit the crossbar as well with a lovely header. And he was playing as centre forward. He was available a lot. He moved well. He held the ball up well. So it was certainly promising for a first start, because when Icardi comes back, he will obviously be second choice for Thomas Tuchel. So I thought tonight he played quite well.
Okay.
Uh-oh. It's back. Okay. It's back.
Dan's the orange man. This is the second question.
Second from Dan.
And the other person had two questions as well.
Oh, we'll get ready for a third.
What's that? No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. It was a great, a prolific day for our good friend.
Hat-trick?
At ELAHI45NOOR.
Wait a minute. We're going hat-trick on primetime?
Hat-trick. Huh? Yes. Like Erling Haaland against Romania.
Oh, extra time question, hat-tricks.
But this one's a fun one.
I can't remember us having a double. Let alone two doubles and now a hat trick.
Wow.
Well,
historic day.
I'm not going to blame those that are sending the questions. Good for them.
Yeah.
The fact that they're providing us with what
Sebi.
We consider to be high quality questions. I blame our team.
Our team.
We have to take a good look at ourselves.
Does this team have anything to do with bloopers, top 10, Shaka's power rankings? All right, let's get to this last question.
Why is Shaka blaming you?
I mean, isn't that the modus operandi on this show?
Oh, no, don't do that,
I get blamed for stuff when I'm not even here.
Don't do that, Seb. Don't be that guy.
Don't be the victim.
No.
Angry Jules, you got angry Seb. It's Friday, guys. I got everybody relaxed. All right, who's your basketball goat? Right, we just had the finals wrap up. The Lakers won, LeBron, yada, yada. You get three choices here. LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, or Michael Jordan. Ale, who are you going with?
I'm going with Michael Jordan. Mm. And I'm going to say that while LeBron and Kobe are incredible talent and players that generational talents, if you will, I think when you answer a question like this, you have to go back to when these players made an impression on you.
Okay.
And as a young kid, and you see MJ, and you see the commercials, and everybody wants to be like Mike, that stays with you. And so therefore, whatever Kobe did afterwards and whatever LeBron did after him, it was almost as if to say, yeah, they're great, but they're not Michael.
Right.
And it's difficult for me to move away from that stage when I think that Michael Jordan is the greatest.
I'm with you. Jules, who you taking in the basketball GOAT debate?
I mean, I have to go with MJ as well, like you guys. I mean, I grew up watching him because he was too good, and I didn't want him to win every single time, and I wanted the New York Knicks to win. Don't ask me why, but this
How's that
was the way.
Out for you?
And then I learned to love him, and I learned to love the genius. I think what LeBron has done is incredible, you know, and having another title with a third franchise is very, very special. However, I just think that MJ is up there on his own, and no one will ever be able to even touch him.
I would have asked Shaka, but our producer is saying don't even ask Shaka.
Why not?
We don't even want his opinion. I don't know. That's what they're telling me.
Well, but Shaka has got basketball knowledge. Have you seen Shaka play basketball?
Mean. That's really mean.
I totally agree. Just because I blame you for the question, Seb. That's why I blame you for the question, so you cut me out.
Yeah, right.
You know what? I'm not answering. Okay. I'm not answering. Move on.
Ah, there you go. That was actually... more analysis than we usually give on other sports.
From Shaka?
I think, no.
Oh.
General,
oh.
All of us really broke down the basketball. I'm proud of us for a second. I don't think there'll be any more NBA talk, but you never know what's coming your way on ESPN FC.